thanks and worship this morning. Our love and prayers go out to Danny Durham and his family, the Durham and the Belt family. Danny's mom has passed away, so be in prayer for him and the kids, all the extended family. They rejoice that she knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and today she is enjoying her freedom, her complete healing in heaven today. You might have noticed over near our information table, little table there, and there is a building that's been put together by one of the children in our church for a school project. We thank Christian for sharing that with us, Brian and Jill's little guy. And I encourage you to stop by. That's a pretty good model. And part of their science, math, they were building things, and he chose to design our church and work in all the cool architectural stuff. Anyway, go check it out, and you'll be amazed and encouraged. All right. Take your Bibles and locate James chapter 3, and then you'll find an outline in your bulletin. I encourage you to grab that. We're going to be covering James 3, verse 13 through 18. I want to encourage you to stand with me if you can. Let's read this together, or you follow along in your scripture, and I'll read this aloud for us, and I'll set the stage for our study of this passage in the Word of God. James 3, verse 13, we read, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" There will be part of our focus this morning. So think about that, how you would answer. What might the answer be? How do we come to that answer? But who among you is wise? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom that is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Quite a bit there, a little challenging as it's worked out, but let's dig into it. Go ahead and have a seat. Grab a pen or something to write on, and let's tackle this passage that God has recorded for us. The focus of our, or the theme, the title of our study this morning is "Dumb is Not Wise." Now, as a church, we don't camp on condemning and just harping on everything that's wrong with the world, but it is rather obvious, some things. But we want to give answers. We want to build on the right assessments. So in no way do you, don't say, "Oh, pastor called me dumb today." No, pastor's going to tell you how to be wise, okay? There's an old lumberjack proverb that says, "A tree is best measured when it is down. When in doubt, cut it down. Unless the tree produces fruit. If you cut down a fruit tree, that's a whole nother matter. If you cut it down, you are done. If you desire ongoing fruit from a fruit tree, the fruit tree must remain productively alive." As we come to the Word of God this morning, we find the definition of life. We find direction in life. We find a how-to manual for successfully navigating life from the one who is the author of life. And every time we come to the Word of God, every time we gather together, we are looking at this how-to manual, looking at God's definitions, God's directions, looking at life from His perspective. As we look at the tree, as we think of fruit, as we think of our life, as we think of the issue of wisdom this morning, The ongoing evaluation of our life mirrors this tree perspective. The dimensions of life, of human life, are easily measured by simply doing the math between the date of birth and the date of death. And we have the dimensions, the years of how long someone has lived. Now, we tend as human beings to focus on the dimension of life. How long? When will I? Not so much when will I be born, we've kind of got that one figured out. But we naturally are concerned about when we will die. And what are the details of that? May I just remind myself, and you may find it helpful for what I remind myself, that Scripture says that our days are numbered. They're numbered before they even began by an infinite, all-wise God. He knows the date of our birth and the details of it. He knows the date of our death and the details of that. Life is in God's hands, and that is the best place on earth for it to be. I'm to be wise, not foolish as I go through life, but I'm not to be obsessed and overly burdened and worried about when I may step into eternity, as long as I'm ready for eternity. And we'll flesh that out as we go through this morning. But life is in God's hands, and that is wonderfully awesome. But now, what about the dynamic of life? That's my baby. What I do with my life, how I live my life. Well, a couple questions before us as we look at this whole issue and as we focus in on our life, running it through the grid of Scripture. One question is, how do we accurately measure? How do we accurately assess the quality and the fruit of our life? And number two, how do we produce consistently the fruit of a life well lived? The answer is clear. It's readily available to all who will look and learn the lessons of life from the Master of Life. Are we ready to be students this morning? The key subject is wisdom, wisdom living. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, we read these words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's our key scripture as we seek to unwrap the meaning of James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. We're going to build on the foundation of a right relationship with God is pivotal, is foundational to understanding life and building a life that is wise living. Wisdom living is productive by its very nature. It is the overflow of the power of God unleashed in our life. A couple of thoughts to build on this morning. Thought number one, wisdom living is wrapped around Jesus Christ as Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. Wisdom living is wrapped around Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Second verse I ever memorized in the Bible, Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans 10:9. If we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and he was raised from the dead, we can be saved. Living that is wise and productive understands the identity of Jesus Christ. He is God. He is complete deity. What he did on the cross paid the penalty for our sins. He is God. He is Savior. He is Lord. And he is the cure for our sin, and he is the one who is in charge of our life. Wisdom living is wrapped around Jesus Christ as Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. That is fleshed out as we jump into James chapter 3 in just a moment. Who is wise? Let him show by his good behavior in the gentleness of wisdom. Wise living is wrapped around good behavior and gentle behavior, as we'll see in just a second. Thought number two, wisdom that is foolish is not wisdom. Wisdom that is not wrapped around the wisdom of God is not wisdom. The scriptures, Proverbs 1 verse 7 says it is foolish. We've looked at this portion already in James. But in chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, you might glance back there for just a moment. James repeats himself a number of times in this epistle. He's a good teacher. Review is one of the key teaching ingredients, key methods of teaching. And James reviews the subject a number of times. He first introduces wisdom in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, who lacks wisdom? All of us. As we look into the mirror of life, we see people who lack wisdom. As we get up in the morning, it is wise to recognize, to acknowledge that we do not have all the answers in the world, in and of ourselves. But as we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have wrapped our life around someone who is infinitely wise, who is perfectly wise. So I am not a wise man. I am not a wise guy as I get up every day. And I lack wisdom. What do I need to do? What do we need to do? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What do we learn about God here? He gives to all generously and without reproach. He doesn't scold us, chide us when we come to him and ask for what he promises to deliver. And it will be given to us, is what he tells us. God is the source of all wisdom. Wisdom that is wise. Let's focus on this subject of wisdom for a few minutes to really grasp. Verse 13 to 18 is really very practical and gives us a bunch of recognizable steps. We need to understand wisdom in its broadest sense to understand the remainder of chapter 3 of James. God's wisdom, number one, write this down, is uniform. God's wisdom is uniform. When you watch a sporting event, what do you notice about a particular team? They're all wearing the same uniform. It is identifying that they all look the same. Well, God's wisdom is uniform. In John 17, 17, we read these words, "Your word is truth." Now, I would love to wake up every morning and to be greeted with, "Your love is truth." Doesn't that sound great for our people to tell us that? "Jim, you are truth." Who's doing the talking here? Who's the "your" in John 17, 17? Well, Jesus Christ is talking, but he's not talking to me. He's not addressing me. He's not saying, "Jim, you are the smartest guy on the planet. You are infinitely wise. You have insight. You know how to put it together." No, the Son, God the Son, is talking to God the Father. And he's saying, the Father's wisdom is perfect, pure. It is the definition of wisdom itself. When we're talking about God's wisdom is uniform, we need to recognize that it is objectively true. I don't think there's a point in your outline for that, but you might be wise to write that in. It will be on the test of life in the days ahead. God's wisdom is objectively true. What does that mean? It means it's true for one, it's true for all. It's true for me here in southern Indiana. It's true in southern Africa. It's true in northern Europe. God's truth is true for one, it's true for all. It's also not subjective. It's not based on how I feel. It's not based on my experience. It is based on the integrity of the source. It is based on God Himself. It is true all by itself. Truth stands alone. It is God's wisdom is objectively true. It is objective truth. Now, the dominating philosophy across the world today is just the opposite. The dominating philosophy in athletics, in the field of academics, in the political realm, in the economic realm, in just about any realm you can think of today, the dominating philosophy is that truth is not uniform, it does not exist, and if there is any kind of objective truth, it is totally unknowable to us on this planet. In other words, no one has the truth. So feel free to make up your own truth. And your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. And as you go through life this week, you will come face to face countless times with that dominating philosophy and perspective. Now, that sounds great. Just whatever you want truth to be, just make it up. And that's what we see in life today. And that is the pressure that we're under and we are naturally inwardly drawn to. Well, the challenging news and the fantastic news for all of us today affects every one of us. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to us. It is His disclosure of His truth, and His truth is the truth. It is objectively true. In all essential matters, the Bible speaks with perfect clarity. And life is not some unsolvable, unknown puzzle. God's wisdom is uniform. That means I've got to deal with it, and you've got to deal with it. And you've got to deal with what God says and let Him weigh in on every detail of your life. God's wisdom is uniform. Second of all, God's wisdom is unmatched. Let me throw in a couple other words there that kind of fit in and capture the theme of this particular point. God's wisdom is also undefeated, and it is unassailable. 1 John 2, verse 21, we read these words. Truth does not lie. Truth does not lie. No lie is of the truth. God weighs in. Jesus Christ weighs in. The scriptures weigh in, claiming to be ultimate uniform truth. Wisdom, truth that is unmatched, undefeated, unassailable, cannot be conquered. In Titus, let me read to you a couple verses that we want to weigh in. For Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. You can jot this down and check it out on your own throughout the week. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. God cannot lie. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. God remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And thirdly, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of peace. The author of Scripture cannot lie. The author of Scripture cannot deny himself. The author of Scripture cannot contradict himself. Now, since the author is 100% accurate, his revelation is 100% accurate. The facts set forth in Scripture are reliable. Can you repeat that with me, the word reliable? The facts of Scripture are not contradictory. No contradictions, no errors, no unsound principles. He lays out for us how to have a family relationship that honors God. He lays out for us how to have a marriage relationship that honors God. He lays out for us how to have church relationships and neighbor relationships and relationships with people that aren't connected to God in the same way we are. He lays out how to live life. He describes history accurately. He defines science accurately. The facts of Scripture are reliable. No contradictions, no errors, no unsound principles. It makes good sense because it is rooted and grounded in God. Does that mean I don't have questions? Of course I've got questions. And we're not afraid of questions here. Just about every week, people are asking me questions as they search and dig deeper. We're not afraid of questions. The foolish question is the one that's never answered and never searched out and never focused on. God's wisdom is uniform. It is unmatched. It is also unchanging. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. The word of God endures forever. It's not your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. The issue is, what is God's truth? What is the meaning of Scripture? Not what does it mean to me, what does it mean? Then the obvious question, how does that apply? Or how can I live that out, flesh that out in my life? God's wisdom is unchanging. The word of the Lord endures forever. Then also 2 Peter 1 verse 3. God has given us everything we need for this life, for life and godliness, on how to have relationships that honor God, on how to have a relationship with God himself. God's truth lasts forever, and it lasts through this life. It lasts for life. God's wisdom is uniform. It's unmatched. It's unchanging. Also, it's ultimate. Ultimate. Changing times do not change truth. Scripture is unchanging as God himself and wonderfully refreshing and liberating. So with that background of what wisdom is all about, we dig into James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise? Well, I'm like, not me. Not me anymore. Who is wise and understanding? None of us can claim to have perfect perspective and understanding. But we're also not dumb. And we're not to be foolish. And as we go through life, we're to be growing in our understanding and application of God's word. And he fleshes out some ways for us to examine our life to see if where we fall into the path of an unwise person, and to be encouraged to notice some areas that we are exhibiting the characteristics of a wise person. So the next couple verses, unwise versus wise. What can we learn? Let's look at the signs of an unwise person. They all kind of mishmash together, so we're going to kind of work our way with one thread and then with the second thread. Verse 14. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The signs of an unwise person, a couple of heart markers here. Number one, bitter jealousy, and number two, selfish ambition. And so I want to let the Spirit of God kind of run those two threads through my life. And so I'm looking for, where am I seeing that in my life? And really, God, where are you seeing that? Show that to me in my life. the markings of an unwise person, bitter jealousy. That's, I'm harboring, holding on to hard feelings. Now, a ship that's out in the ocean or out on a lake and it's stormy, what do they want to do? They want to get to safety. Safety is typically represented in getting into a safe harbor. So we need to ask ourselves, where is my safe harbor? Where do I feel comfortable? Sometimes we feel most comfortable in areas that are not wise, not comfortable. We can feel comfortable in sailing the seas of bitterness and jealousy. We may be comfortable there, but it's not wise. And God calls us to come in to a safe harbor. And we'll see that in just a moment. A safe harbor, what that looks like. It's just the opposite of holding on to hard feelings and bitterness. Number two, selfish ambition. That insatiable hunger to push oneself to the top. Do you know anybody like that in your world? You know anybody that, oh, you just look, oh, that person's all wrapped up in themselves. It's all about them getting ahead. Boy, I just see that in that person and that person and that person. You know, I go to Little League and that those people over there, they just want to win all the time and they just are upset if I win. And it's so easy to see it in everybody else, right? But we're supposed to look for those elements in our own life. Where is that insatiable hunger manifesting itself, demonstrating itself, that I want to push ahead of everyone else to the top? And I'm never satisfied unless I'm on the top. Well, those are some markers of an unwise person. And now he gives us a number of descriptions in the next couple of verses as well, kind of descriptive of those heart markers of an unwise person of counterfeit wisdom. Verse 14, we mentioned that he's arrogant, or she is arrogant. We are arrogant. I can be arrogant. That word there is talking about someone who is proudly justifying their actions, their sinful actions that don't reflect the word of God. Arrogant. And then it says, lies against the truth in verse 14. That's a picture of someone who changes their truth standard to match their lifestyle choices. And that's a good reminder for all of us. Am I staying consistent with the word of God? Remember, God is 100% consistent. And within my own nature, it will be, I will naturally gravitate to adjusting my truth perspective to what I want to do. And I've constantly got to be fighting against changing my perspective of truth to what I want. Because remember, it's not what I want and how I view life, but how God views life. That kind of works its way out in the next couple of descriptions. Verse 15, arrogant, lie against truth, wisdom that does not come from that which does. Boy, James just makes it really tough to read sometimes. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Earthly, natural, demonic. What is the picture there? What do I need to see? Some danger signs I should recognize in my life. Earthly and natural. It's the perspective of evaluating life without God in the picture. Kind of living a practical, atheistic, agnostic life. I'm living as if there is no God. And natural, they kind of spin off each other. Natural is, I'm putting myself as the source of wisdom. You know, it's kind of a, well, this is what I think. Well, this is what I think. Well, this is what I think. the dominating drive in our thought process is, what does God think? Well, what he thinks is fleshed out in Scripture, is told us in Scripture. So my dominating drive ought to be, what does God think? How does God address this? What are the direct commands or the directing principles of my life? Earthly, natural. And that's verse 15, demonic. It's like, well, that's you know, I'm not sacrificing goats and people to Satan. Well, that's the picture of a pattern of thinking that moves in a direction that becomes so contrary to God's truth, it's like Satan would approve of it. Satan endorses it. And we are wise to be reminded, and we are reminded when we come to the Word of God, that our natural inclination as people with the sin nature, our natural inclination as sinners, is to be drawn in that direction, and we've got to fight against it, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and the power of the Word of God in our life, or we will find ourselves at that end of the pond. The end result in all that, in verse 16, where jealousy and ambition exists, there is disorder in every evil thing. The natural consequence, the natural result of all this, of just floating down the stream of life without actively fighting against this dominating life perspective, is chaos and confusion, disharmony, pettiness in my life. Well, God doesn't just say, Jim, you're dumb. He helps me. He helps us to know the right direction to focus on, to recognize some encouraging signs that we're making progress, that we're in the game. So let's look at the signs of a wise person. Heart level markings, we saw in verse 13. Good behavior, gentleness. Godly conduct and a gentleness that is fleshed out in there. Some of the descriptives beginning in verse 17. The wisdom that's from above, godly wisdom, is pure, peaceable, gentle. Pure, peaceable, and gentle. Pure has the picture of the internal motives are fleshed out externally. And as I go through life, that will be fleshed out in my life. That will be fleshed out in your life. The truth comes out. And the second part, the second description, descriptive word, there is peaceable. And there's a connection between purity and peaceable. When wisdom living is characteristic in my life, it's characterized by peaceful relationships. Notice the connection between number one and number two. Peaceable. It produces peaceful relationships. Gentle and reasonable. Gentle is repeated and it has, what's the opposite of gentle? How would you describe the very antithesis of gentle? A word that's just contrary to gentle. One word I think of is abrasive. Do you know anybody who's abrasive in life? Let's start in the mirror, because that's what we're supposed to do. Look in the mirror. The gentle person is one who is willing to surrender rights for a higher ideal. Doesn't mean that we sacrifice truth, but it understands that we are not the sole center of the universe. It understands that we are part of a family that God is working through. It understands that sometimes we set aside our preferences for the furtherance of the body. And when you come into a church family, when you join this church, it's not about me getting my preferences. It's not about you getting your preferences. Together we come together to honor God, to focus on God, to be refreshed by God, to be encouraged by one another, to encourage one another. There's all kinds of styles of music. And sometimes I might say, wow, that style was just what I wanted today. And other days it might be, that just wasn't my thing. But it was for someone else. Not every song is for us, but it is for someone here. And that gentle and then moving into the reasonable perspective sees the bigger picture. Reasonable carries with it the idea of teachable. And the contrast to reasonable is stubborn. It says, put aside stubbornness and readily yield to the truth of God as a learner, as a student. Reasonable, then, full of mercy and good fruits. Obviously, fruit, it's bountiful, tangibly demonstrates the love of God. But merciful, again, we're thinking about everybody else on the planet right now, right? And how wisdom applies to them. Do you know anybody on this planet who's ever intersected your life who deserves to go to hell? I think, isn't that kind of a, I got one. Well, that's a kind of an uncomfortable question, right? It was even more uncomfortable when I heard myself say it. Do we know anybody that deserves to go to hell? Have you ever looked and seen somebody that deserves to go to hell? Every time I look in the mirror, I see someone who deserves to go to hell. And it's not you photobombing my mirror moment. You know, that's uncomfortable to think about. But every time I look in the mirror, I see someone who deserves hell. Who doesn't deserve God's grace? Who doesn't deserve God's mercy? And now, as I look at Scripture and what it says about wisdom, it says that for all of us. We know people who deserve to go to hell because we know people. We all deserve eternal separation from God. None of us deserve an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mercy is looking on others with compassion that they don't deserve. The greatest moment in your life is when you express to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the dominating drive in our Christian life is to show the mercy of God to others in our life. To look on them with the same compassion that God has shown to us individually. Merciful, bountiful, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. Not fake. What you see is what you get. And what you get when you look at me is a taste of Jesus should be the perspective of each of our lives and the goal. When life is cut down and they measure our life, they see the love of Jesus. But until God cuts us down, the fruit that shows up every day in our life should reflect the wisdom from God. Wisdom that is gentle, peaceable, and self-controlled. What is seen is what we are. And the end result of a wise perspective in life, a wise focus on life, wisdom living that fears God. Verse 18, fruit and peace. The peace of God and the fruit of a life dominated and driven by the Spirit of God. No one desires to be a fool. And no one has to be a fool when we come to the Word of God and follow the Word of God. The date was April 1st, 1998. The Burger King restaurant chain took out a full-page ad in USA Today introducing a new sandwich to the world. It was called a left-handed Whopper. The left-handed Whopper was designed for the 32 million Americans who were left-handed. And according to the advertisement, this left-handed Whopper would include the same ingredients as the regular Whopper: tomato, hamburger, bun, lettuce. But everything would be rotated 180 degrees for the benefit of their left-handed customers. The following day, Burger King's were inundated with people requesting left-handed Whoppers. They were also inundated with right-handed people demanding their fair sandwich and their fair time. Left-handers showed up, right-handers showed up, wanting equal time. A left-handed Whopper is a Whopper. A right-handed Whopper is a Whopper. Doesn't matter how you turn it, it's still a sandwich. But people showed up wanting this product and upset that they were being left out. It was April Fool's Day. No one desires to be a fool, and no one need be a fool when we are characterized by wisdom living. Life that is not run through the God grid is not wise. It will leave us distracted, disoriented, discouraged, and detoured. But it need not be that way. We only have one life. Let's make it count by it being wise. Wherever you're at today in life, it's never too late to start doing what is wise and what is right today. And today is a fresh start to living wise. It begins with understanding who God is in relation to who we are. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. And the Lord and God has laid on Jesus Christ all of our sin. All of us are sinners. All of us deserve eternal damnation. We deserve hell. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, provides a way for us to have peace with God. It's coming to the cross, acknowledging that we're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, and responding to his free gift of salvation. And then begins the wonderful experience and challenge of living well for our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, let's make a fresh start to live wise for the glory of Jesus. Father, we readily acknowledge who we are in Jesus Christ. We readily acknowledge that you are Lord of our life and Savior of our soul. As we have looked through the grid of unwise and wise living, the Spirit of God has likely touched on some area that we need to beef up, that we need to strengthen, and also an area that we've seen growth and victory and encouragement on. So as we come to your truth, may we find exactly that. Lord, there's so much more for us to do, and as we do it, we are grateful that we are, as followers of Jesus Christ, living our faith out, a faith that will last forever. Lord, may the excitement of our relationship with you spill over into our everyday life as we spotlight Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you